You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Comancheria. Today, let's talk a little bit about a faddish thing that goes on in some PT training, combat training in particular. We're going to talk about cold training, ice baths, cold showers, and discuss whether or not these sorts of things are productive. And the answer is yes. And the answer is no. It depends on what attribute we're really going for. So we're talking cold water plunges, which I have done. Cold showers, I have done. Polar plunges, I have done. It's just I don't do them on a regular basis. Well, what we're addressing here is somebody who uses them as a regular part of a so-called training regimen to inure themselves to the cold and, you know, yada, yada. See, many a claim is made for such practices, but it turns out that it all may be based a little more than fad du jour. I mean, such training practices are cyclical. I mean, in 6 months, we all be shouting from the rooftops about the benefits of UV exposure and our nether bits. That's an actual thing. All right. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it works. I'm saying there's actually people making those claims, you know, exposing the perineum to, i.e. the taint, to the sun. Boom. Strength shoots. Uh-huh. All right. There you go. Or how about this holding oat bran under our tongues while we train? That is also not a fake thing. Or some such thing. Hell, leg warmers may be back in fashion in 6 months. Who knows? Anyway, what's more, cold water immersion studies have shown that the practice may actually inhibit, do you hear that? Inhibit strength, muscle adaptation, collagen synthesis, which is what we need to, particularly if we're looking to seek to repair tendons and such. And all these things are the exact opposite one would assume of those who use such tactics. And again, if we assume if each training session is only a marginal revolution, if we're drug-free, each training session, we're either maintaining or we're actually trying to creep ahead, you know, fractions. If we're looking at a timeline, we're trying to creep ahead millimeters. And then if we follow this up with some sort of a cold training, we're actually subtracting those millimeters, so we're coming out of that no with all that pleasant unpleasantness about immersion ourselves in the cold. And we'll just stay with me here. We'll get to the science, but first let's begin with the why of the practice for many and why this may be sought elsewhere. So we don't have to really, we'll keep the spirit of it, but don't necessarily have to do this that might be inhibiting us a bit. We're going to look to a passage from a novel, Conrad Richter's The Light in the Forest, that mentions cold training, which is indeed a part of many tribal custom. I've got many, many references, and I've discussed them before about people, the indigenous tribes using cold training, but the intent was different, and I think actually I'm going to use a novelistic passage to get across what was going on. So, quote, the boy was about 15 years old. He tried to stand very straight and tall when he heard the news. A bit inside of him, everything had gone black. It wasn't that he couldn't endure pain. In the summer, he would put a stone hot from the fire on his flesh to see how long he could stand it. In winter, he would sit in the icy river until his Indian father, smoking on the bank, said he could come out. It made him strong against any hardship that would come to him, his father said. Unquote. Again, to be clear, I don't think such cold water practices are necessary, but I do find that practices of purposefully hardening, purposely robustifying can go a long way towards the improvement of both the physical and mental character. And actually what we're hearing there is the father said in this situation, the novel's examples, was not to improve the cold tolerance to make sure you can stand there, even the heat tolerance per se, but it was to teach strength against hardship. It's robustification. It's character training. Just to make sure, can I do this? Can I stick with it? That's it. You could probably do the same thing. You're just, you know, holding a weight at arm's length straight out in front of you, keeping your elbow straight. How long can you do that and, you know, last with the pain? This is the sort of same sort of idea against the training, strength against hardship, just playing them with the mind game against oneself. Now, many cold practice adopters have exhibited a bit of domain specificity in the understanding of the indigenous use of cold immersions. And again, what the cold was being used for is indigenous tribes. It was not to gain these Wim Hof levels of cold tolerance via some purported breathing method. It was to robustify the soul in the midst of an unpleasantness so that one develops strength against hardship, a strength that can diversify against other challenges. The point of the practice was developing this spiritual robustness, not the cold itself. Any unpleasantness endured with grace Well, that becomes the mechanism. So many tunnel on that specific mechanism of the cold plunges, the cold showers. Well, actually, you're missing the arc of the total vision, at least in this particular case, as far as cold, because we actually see we have some inhibiting responses going on, let alone the fact if part of your goal is losing weight. We know that's one of the reasons that bodybuilders don't use swimming as part of their cardio to cut, because even if the water is just a little bit nice, it stimulates you to hang on to whatever body fat you have. Now, this is not an argument against it. If you don't have any problem with that, you don't care about body fat or lean, it's not a problem with you. But if you are concerned with that to some degree, well, you're just going to hang on to it and probably tell it you're actually triggering the body to accumulate a bit more so it survives and becomes more robust in the water. That is the mechanism to standing it more, to be able to go, oh, let's hang on to this fat because you're going to keep plunging me in this water every day. And back to the Wim Hof thing. It became a big deal for some time. Scott Carney, who was the author of What Does Not Kill Us, in his book, he was actually the person that really introduced Wim Hof to the world and which brought him forth on the stage. Well, Scott Carney has candidly, in my opinion, valiantly and honestly reversed himself regarding the man and his method. In his own podcast, Scott Carney Investigates, he's done a great multi-part series saying, here's what I think is wrong and dangerous. And I think Scott was kind enough to consent. We did an interview on this on my blog, indigenousability.com. We'll put the link in there at some time back. And I had some quibbles with at the time in particular. It's a lot of the breathing methods that the claims for at the time was very dangerous. It's the opposite of what you would actually do in freediving. It would actually lead to, I said, I thought you're going to have some shallow water blackout, i.e. leading to death. And, Mr. Carney now addresses all these things. There's a lot of problems with this method, but that's not really where we're talking here. This isn't a character assassination for Mr. Hof. We're just talking about the claim for what all these benefits the cold can do for us. That's not necessarily there. Now, keep in mind, I've done the plunges myself. I've jumped in just to get some friends. New Year's Day, we go out, and I've done three, four. I don't know how many we've done. But you jump in. It's just the whole point was to have fun. And there's the social effect. Whenever I'm, hanging out with a fellow stupid-minded individuals, we're just having a blast. But none of us walk away from that thinking that we changed the world and we can lift a car. But we do come away feeling robustified. We attacked, and we did great. We realize it's all about the psychological impact of it, the spiritual impact of it. Again, robustifying is the key. It is not necessarily the cold itself. Seems integration to the whole is the thing. Seems the spirit of the thing is it. Now let's go from this esoteric stuff to the scientific claims. Ice baths, cold showers are self-prescribed to reduce inflammation of post-exercise. That's the claim. Now, let's keep this in mind. If you are exercising, one presumes it is for the health benefit of the practice. If the healthful practice is sparking inflammation in the body, well, that is no longer a healthful practice. We're actually moving away from something healthful to something detrimental. A bit of bro science that claims that muscle building and conditioning is a result of micro tears in muscle tissue, hell, that was put to bed decades and decades ago. You're not training to injury. We're actually doing the opposite of it. It doesn't mean we're going easy. It doesn't mean the mentality behind it is that's not what we're looking to do. And the information about how we were building with these micro tears just turned out it's dead wrong. So anything we're doing is actually causing inflammation of the body. Well, that's what an illness does. Don't do a self-imposed illness to yourself. In short, if what I do for health and longevity requires a bolster before or after the practices, if I got to put on knee braces and pop pain pills, or I got to do cold immersions, whatever this, for me to make this healthful training, maybe able to tolerate and live, get through whether my training is running or deadlifting or 900 burpees, if it requires the sport or care before, during, or after, well, that no longer reflects a practice that has a net benefit. I mean, like if a doctor prescribes something to knock down a particular ailment or, setting a bone, if he also says at the same time we're going to have to do you get what I'm saying. The analogy holds the fact that if you got to continue, if it hurts you to do it, it's not useful. Let's go into number two. If one is using cold practices while in pursuit of athletic betterment, we already alluded to this, strength, indoor adaptation to tasks. Studies show that cold practices inhibit both strength and muscular adaptation. It also seems like there's a bit of a problem with allowing the collagen synthesis, as we already mentioned earlier, which again is tendon repair. In the blog version of this, and I'll put a link in here as well, I offer just two out of the many, many, many studies that demonstrate the disutility of the practice. One is called Post-Exercise Cold Water Immersion. Attenuates acute anabolic signaling and long-term adaptations and muscle-to-strength training. In other words, It's a problem. The other one is called The Influence of Post-Exercise Cold Water Immersion on Adaptive Responses to Exercise, a review of the literature, which is a meta-analysis of all these studies, and it shows, you know, the same thing. It just turns out it's just not helpful, and it's not just standing at neutral. It has an inhibitory effect. So, three. If one still thinks, yeah, you know, well, I don't train with the intent to injure myself, Mark, and I hear you on the potential decrease of potential strength and skill adaptation that I work so hard to gain, but I'm willing to attenuate that hard work, and I don't care a whit about collagen synthesis rates, so my tendons be damned, but cold is still mighty good for inflammation, and I am rife with that, so Mark, that's why I'm going to keep on doing it. All right. If inflammation is present within the body, ice, cold, only works at the surface. That is the epidermis and subdermal levels, all right? Hey, you bump that knee, perhaps some ice. But even here, the current state of the science is to forego the ice and go with analgesics and compression. Hell, they're not even doing elevating above the heart anymore. The science seems to say, yeah, we really, ice is not necessarily it. Analgesics are the superior choice of anti-inflammatory therapy. Any inflammation within the body, deep, the ice just ain't gonna touch it, man. Cold immersion is a fantastic tool used in the original indigenous spiritual character, shut the fuck up, robustification sense. It's meant to be building some characters. But so are any and all grin and bear it tasks out there. So one could easily substitute waiting patiently in line or on tech support calls or standing on a fire ant mound or elongated breath holds, you know, for digging deep. There's many practices that can elicit this, but our job is to choose the ones that don't make us go retrograde in our training. Cold plunges is a practice for anything other than if I can stand this, I shall endeavor to bring this mindset elsewhere, is not necessary. And the practice may even be slowing down, eating what you seek to train in the first place. And it also stymies fat loss and actually has you to accumulate a bit. If that's what you're looking to do, well, cold might be for you. So this is why we're throwing a bit of cold water in this white hot forge of training. Now, anyway, if you want more scientifically backed combat conditioning based on old school principles, just like the old real old timers used from indigenous warriors to combination men, and well, just look at our unleaded conditioning series. We'll really look hard at what was done in the past and then find the science to see whether we can verify it's still a good idea or myth bust it and let it go away. Fascinatingly, so much of it still works out. And it's a lot of our newer fad du jour that are going, yeah, this isn't the direction. Find out what it really was. This, and again, this isn't to say zero forever. Or no go on cold. It means you're using it occasionally to say, yeah, put yourself through that. See what that's like, man. That anticipatory anxiety before such things like that. It's great. It's kind of like skydiving, jumping out if your first time. Oh, you're asking yourself to do it. But repeated practice of it is not really giving any benefit. It could putting a drain on it. Again, I'm going to put the link to this so you can go look at those a couple of scientific studies if you want, or you can dig around and listen to that interview with Mr. Scott Carney. And other than that, though, have a look at our store, Extreme Self protection.com for all their things in rough and tumble combat, unleaded conditioning, and sundry mayhem. Take care of yourself. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musics.